You know, we were barely in the playoff picture for most of the year. So to make that push, to get there, to win an epic first round series, and then, you know, to give the Lakers, a fight in this series and have our chances, that puts us in the top, among the top, you know, eight teams in the league. That's probably where we should be. This is not a championship team. You know, if we were, we'd be moving on. So you can look at the year in total and see all the ups and downs, and there was all kinds of stuff that went on and adversity that hit, but our group stayed together and competed till the end and made a pretty good run.
Along with Marko Ukalovic and Ryan Leong, I'm Lowell Tuckerman. Welcome to Bay Area Sports Wrap. That was Warriors head coach Steve Kerr after the Warriors lose 122-101 to the Los Angeles Lakers in Game 6 of the Western Conference Semifinals, and that sends the Warriors home for an early summer vacation. Well, gentlemen, as we've been talking about all year, what if the Warriors just get healthy at the right time? And what I meant by that is, can they be healthy in time for the playoffs? And the answer was yes. So I got my wish from that standpoint. The Warriors were healthy coming into the playoffs. Were they playing at a high level or at their peak? Absolutely not. But they escaped the first round against the Sacramento Kings in 7 games. And then, really, they just ran into a buzzsaw in the Lakers. And I have to admit, I did not expect this series to go the way it did. I thought the Warriors would get past the Lakers. I was really surprised to see the Lakers get past the Memphis Grizzlies. And it's just crazy when you look at who's left in the NBA playoffs. You have an 8 seed in the Eastern Conference, the Miami Heat, who, by the way, they won game one, so they're up 1-0 right now against the Celtics in their Eastern Conference Final Series. And out west, you have the Lakers, the 7 seed, taking on the 1 seed Denver Nuggets, the team that everyone's been talking about all year. But going back to the Warriors, as Steve Kerr said, they fell short. It just wasn't their year. Ryan, I'll start with you. If you were to try to analyze why the Warriors couldn't repeat this year, where do you start?
I start actually with health, because they were healthy enough to play, but they weren't at optimal health. It's kind of like when you play baseball. After a certain period of time, you know, you're dealing with nagging injuries and whatnot, and guys play through it, or they learn how to play with injuries. Marko, you being a former athlete, and I know you played high school football, you're familiar with this. When you don't have, at a certain point, guys are never going to be 100%. That's just how it goes. And, you know, after the Warriors lost game 6, they, of course, had a few days to recover as far as like collect themselves, meet with the media in a separate, post-mortem presser. And Gary Payton II talked about his shortcomings.
Did you at any point feel like you were fully recovered this year?
No, I knew that, you know, getting surgery, beginning of the season, and, you know, just fighting through that, I wasn't never going to be fully healthy. Just, you know, get to a point where I can be myself. And, you know, just help out.
How much pain were you playing through then, kind of even, especially late here as you guys are playing every other day? Is there?
It was good. It was just, you know, maintaining and, you know, just trying to keep it, good. So, you know, it wouldn't spiral down on me. So, you know, the guys did a great job here, you know, keeping that and managing it. So, it got me able to, you know, do what I needed to do.
Anyway, you know, Payton admitted he wasn't healthy. He never fully recovered. And the Warriors, as we recall, got him in that trade from Portland in exchange for, finally giving up on James Wiseman. And in addition to that, you had Andrew Wiggins. He was gone for a long period of time with some kind of family problem. Some people were initially speculating it had something to do with some kind of a lover's quarrel, but we don't really know for sure. And he finally came back, and he played pretty well considering, but he had missed, like, what, about 2 months of the season? So he wasn't always able to play at his best either. And it kind of culminated in that game six loss, because if you look at it, outside of Steph Curry, who had, of course, his usual fairly strong game, he had 32 points, but he made only 4 of 14 threes. And he was 11 of 28 shooting from the floor overall. The only other double-digit scorer was Dante DiVincenzo. He had 16 points off the bench. Nobody else scored in double digits. And they got blown out, of course, by the Lakers in that game. Now, the Lakers were the better team, no matter how you look at it, because they did have a little bit more size than the Warriors, and they were able to out-rebound. But I think it all stems from the Warriors having that preseason video that surfaced where Draymond Green sucker punched Jordan Poole. The team never really recovered from that. Poole himself got a huge contract as a result of that, and the team started 0-5 on the road and never recovered fully. I think given what ended up happening, I think the Warriors got to where I thought they would get to. I mean, at best, they would have, in my opinion, gotten to the Western Conference Finals, where they would have most likely been smoked by the Denver Nuggets. So all things considered, I would say I give the Warriors like a B grade for how the season turned out.
You know, Marco, Ryan brought it up, the Draymond Green and Jordan Poole scuffle, which, by the way, no one, meaning the public outside of the Warriors, would have known had it wasn't leaked by somebody on their video crew. So that also looked really bad when you have a leak of that proportion coming out of Warriors camp. You also had the Wiggins sabbatical, and it just had a weird feeling. Definitely the most adversity of any of their defending champion seasons.
It did. And, you know, a lot of people want to go back and pinpoint the Draymond Green, Jordan Poole fight, which really wasn't a fight. It was one punch, but yeah, that did affect team chemistry. And you know, they were saying after the postmortem presser, you know, that there was a lack of trust there because of that, and that was never really fully regained by Draymond Green and the rest of the team. And, you know, I'm going to say to a certain degree that was part of the reason why the Warriors didn't go as far as they had last year, winning the title and only making it to the second round. But I truly think that they just didn't have a good, strong bench to carry them in the postseason like they did last year. Okay, they didn't have Juan Toscano-Anderson. They didn't have Otto Porter Jr. They didn't have Bjelica, guys who were veterans who had been there before, who were able to contribute and come off the bench and spare the main guys, Curry, Thompson, Green, Wiggins. You know, you look at what Bob Myers did, and I, you know, whether it was under ownership that said, look, we're tired of paying the luxury tax. You guys got to go with the young guys who we just drafted. And that's what Bob Myers did. He gambled with the youngins to be the bench players, to come off and have the scoring, the secondary scoring, and it just wasn't there. You know, look at what the situation with James Wiseman, you know, a guy who wasn't really allowed to be developed. So they sent him away. They traded him to Detroit. Jonathan Kuminga, who had, you know, showed flashes his rookie year, you know, again, didn't get the minutes that I thought he needed to have in order for him to take that next step. Same thing with Moses Moody. Again, these were two guys who were counted to be really that sixth, seventh, eighth man coming off the bench. And I don't know, just Kerr just didn't trust them and to give them those minutes. And we saw that really throughout the season and even in the playoffs. You know, you didn't hear Jonathan Kuminga's name at all in that second round against the Lakers. And I think that's really what truly hurt the Warriors this season, was not having a strong bench. Now, yeah, and you could talk about the chemistry, because you had guys who were out for quite a while. You had Stephen Curry with his shoulder injury. He was out for a while. Wiggins with his family situation. You know, we all found out that he was dealing with an ailing father. And so that's why he was there as long as he could to be with his family and be show strength for his family. So, you know, Draymond Green was hurt this year. You know, Gary Payton Jr. Comes back to the Warriors through a trade and he's not healthy. So, yeah, you know, when you don't have the sum of all your parts together throughout an entire season to build that chemistry and make everyone forget about that punch that was thrown back in training camp. Well, yeah, it's tough for this team to you know, really repeat the magic of last year, because A, they were hurt. They weren't playing together, you know, throughout the entire season. And, you know, God bless Wiggins, but like the guy just, you know, wasn't rusty. Basically, he wasn't able to be the playoff Wiggins we saw last year that helped carry the Warriors to a title, their fourth title in 9 years. So there's a lot of components of why this team, you know, made it to the second round. I mean, you guys mentioned the 0-5 start to the road, and they were one of the worst road teams in the entire NBA, not just playoff the teams who made the playoffs, but overall, I think they were the third worst team behind San Antonio and I believe Houston. That, you know, so when you played that bad on the road throughout the entire season, and it did kind of carry into the postseason. You know, you look at that game four against the Lakers when they had the lead and they weren't able to close that out. And the same thing game one, too, when they were at home, they weren't able to close that out. Those are the two games that define that series. And I believe the series was over after game four. I'm sure we all knew that, you know, Warriors were going to win game five, but I think they left everything out there in game five, and they just were done gas tank wise for game six. And we saw that. We saw the Lakers that basically dominate them. Klay couldn't find the basket, but his life depended on it. You know, he had one of the worst series in his life. It's so funny, which is ironic, because here's a series he's been waiting for his whole life, and yet he had probably one of the worst series in his whole entire career. So you look from that standpoint, there was a lot of factors of, and I'm watching, not just one that contributed to the Warriors bowing out in the second round to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, and Marco, you're talking about that Warriors-Kings series. I think every one of those three losses the Warriors suffered in that series, they all made sense. Maybe you could argue, well, the Warriors shouldn't have lost Game 6 in that series. They should have closed out the Kings. But yeah, the Lakers series, I thought Game 4 was just gut-wrenching and inexcusable. You're up 7 points to start the fourth quarter, and you have to get a split in those two games in LA, and you can't pull it off. I tend to agree with you. If we're being intellectually honest, the series was pretty much over. Now, you can never fully count out the Warriors, and had they won Game 6 last Friday, then you're thinking, all right, Game 7 back in San Francisco, anything can happen. But yeah, I think Game 4 really was putting the nail in the Warriors' proverbial coffin. And Ryan, you mentioned something really interesting before we started our episode about how Steph Curry and Michael Jordan are similar ages at this point, when Jordan was finishing his second title run. And Curry, here we are, and no matter whether you want to say 1, 2, or 3 years at most, there's still a window of opportunity for the Warriors because of where Stephen Curry is at with his level of play. And you have Klay and Draymond and the core there as well. So it's just a matter of what can the Warriors do to maximize the next 1, 2, or 3 years of this title window. Because if you look at the landscape of the NBA, this is not the early 2000s where everybody was gunning for the Lakers, or 10 years ago where they're gunning for the Heat or the Spurs. There is a lot of parity in the NBA, and the Warriors absolutely cannot blow whatever's left of this title window, Ryan.
Yeah, I think you're being a little generous, though, saying 3 years. Let's just even worry about one more year. And the problem you have to look at is Klay Thompson's looking for an extension. I mean, all these guys are looking to still, you know, make more money, and as they get older, their athletic skills are diminishing. I think Klay Thompson's looking for something in the neighborhood of, or what he's, I think he was already making $40 million a year or something like that. And, you know, he unfortunately, as well as he played at times throughout the season this year, he really, you know, like Marco said, he had one of the worst playoff series in his career. I mean, his game six performance against the Lakers, 3 of 19 shooting and 2 of 12 from three, is just, you know, that's atrocious. And he was a minus 33 on the plus minus. So really, really bad. Draymond Green, you know, with that punch and his propensity for technicals. I mean, again, we talked about how, yeah, he was probably unfairly ejected, or rather suspended, for the Domantas Sabonis stomp, the stomp heard around the world. But overall, I would say about 75 to 80% of his technicals are legit techs. And so every year he's getting himself 16 technicals, which gets yourself suspended for a game. And then you get suspended if you have, you know, every time you have two more technicals after that. So he's such a volatile player that I really think the team needs to move on from Draymond. As great as he's been, I really think he's more of a hindrance than a help. And who knows, maybe he wants to go play with LeBron now, because he and LeBron are like BFFs. So I'm also a little concerned that a guy like Jonathan Kuminga, who was drafted, what, I think seventh in the first round, he's not getting any playing time. One of the problems Steve Kerr had was, yeah, he had all these young guys, but he was giving minutes, oddly enough, to guys like Anthony Lamb, who was really not that good of a player, and Ty Jerome, who showed some flashes of brilliance. But overall, the guys that should have gotten more playing time off the bench, to me, it's a no-brainer. Kuminga and Moody. I mean, Moody was a game changer whenever he got minutes, which wasn't often. In fact, he had the highest plus minus of game six with 10. So even Curry was a minus 21. And Moody I just showed so much potential, and he just rode the bench a lot of times, because if he made one little mistake, Kerr is like a lot of veteran coaches. He'll bench you at the slightest mistake. And so I just hope that the Warriors figure out a way to get a better bench going, because they're really not doing – they didn't have the kind of bench at all, as Marco mentioned, from last year.
Marco, before you give us your thoughts on Draymond Green and who else should stay or go for the Warriors in terms of who's on their core, here was Steve Kerr after the Game 6 loss to the Lakers talking about how this team could not be a championship contender going forward without Draymond Green.
If Draymond's not back, we're not a championship contender. We know that. I mean, he's that important to winning and to who we are. So I absolutely want him back. He's a competitor. He's an incredible defensive player. We can check all those boxes. And he and I have built a really special relationship that has run the gamut, you know, over the years. We've had our share of run-ins, but we've been through so much. We really care about each other and work together well. He knows that he had a great season this year from a basketball perspective, but he knows that he also compromised things by what happened back in October. And so part of him coming back next year has to be about rebuilding some of that trust and respect that he's earned here, you know, for a long period of time. And one thing I love about Draymond is he's always brutally honest, and he can take that sort of critique because he knows it's the truth. So I want him back. I think we all want him back, and hopefully that's exactly what happens, and we, you know, get ready to make another run next year.
You know, I have to agree with Kerr on that. You know, Draymond, yeah, there is no championship. I mean, for as volatile as he is, he's the type of guy who has to play with that kind of emotion. If you tell him to try to curb it or, you know, settle down or just play half with half of that, he's not going to be that same player. And you know, you need him defensively, you know, against the other team's big guys, since the Warriors don't truly have a big time center. No offense to Kevon Looney, who played absolutely amazing down the stretch and in this playoff run, grabbing all those rebounds. But he had like 5 or 6 20-plus rebound games. But yeah, I think, you know, you need to bring him back. I know that he has a player option for this next season, which I think he should exercise, or the whole team should exercise this. But, you know, I think Kerr, you know, again, the fact that he didn't trust the rookies, or just not the rookies, but the young guys like Moody and Kuminga, you know, just goes to show you that, you know, he didn't have many options after that because they didn't have such a strong bench. And I think he should have just let them get their growing pains out of the way and then figure it out after, you know, for this upcoming season. So, you know, another question is, you know, we're seeing all these high profile coaches get the axe this past week with Monty Williams in Phoenix and Milwaukee's head coach. I mean, who just took him to a title two years ago. He's fired because they couldn't get out of the first round. You know, I'm not saying Steve Kerr needs to be fired, but, you know, he was out coached in this series against the Lakers, against Darvin Ham, and even to some point, Mike Brown in the Sacramento series. I mean, really, if Curry doesn't get 50 points and set at that time a career high for points in a game seven of 50, you know, they probably bow out the first round. So, you know, if Kerr's back, then we'll see what happens with Bob Myers. That's another question mark regarding this team, whether he wants to stay or go. And if he does leave, you know, who are they going to get as a general manager? And I think whoever they do get as a general manager has to be aggressive, and the ownership has to open up the checkbook again. They have to. Okay, you know what? Yeah, paying a luxury tax is not cool, but at the same time, when you win a championship, you make all that up with merchandise, concessions, and ticket sales, and all that good stuff, right? The team's not going to lose any money if they have to go start paying the luxury tax again. That's my point here. So, a lot of questions that this team has to answer this offseason, you know, and what did they do with Jordan Poole? Everyone's calling for the Warriors to trade him and get rid of him, which, you know, I think he just needs to grow up a little bit. And, you know, I think you want to have him in an environment where you have the strong leadership of Curry and even Draymond. You know, I think those guys can, after an offseason, put that to rest. I hope, at least maybe I'm being an optimist and being naive. Maybe they won't, but I'm hoping they can, to a point where if you get some strong veteran bench players, so this way guys like Moody and guys like Kuminga can ease their way back into some minutes and not have to feel the pressure of having to perform. And I think maybe that's what happened to them this season and why Steve Kerr lost faith in them. Now, obviously, Moody got some minutes toward the end of the season and in the playoffs, which was good. And he showed what he can do, and from the offense and defensive standpoint. So, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, whoever comes in, whether they keep everyone together, Myers, Kerr, and Draymond, that they still have to go out and spend money and get a good veteran bench, get guys who want to come here to win a ring. And I think the window can be another 1 to 2 years if that happens. And if not, then we'll probably see it shrinking sooner than later. So that's my take on that. And we'll see what happens. It's going to be a very, very interesting offseason with this team.
Ryan, so Marco is of the mindset of they should keep Poole, they should keep Kerr, they should keep Myers, and maybe add another guy to beefing up that bench. Who are some current players / coaches / front office, Ryan, who you think might not be with the organization next year?
For the Warriors, I mean, I think it was a Kenny Atkinson, right? I think he's on the he's one guy that definitely could be headed back to being on the sideline for another team. I mean, he coached, I think, years ago, as I recall, for the Nets. Player-wise, I mean, again, like I said, I don't see the Warriors retaining Draymond. I just don't. I think he just caused too much ill will with that punch. And, again, just his theatrics, you know, he put himself in a tough position for the Warriors to want to retain him. I do see where Mark was coming from. I don't disagree with him. I just feel that also with Clay, it's kind of a question mark. I mean, I know he doesn't want to think about his injury, but let's be honest. I mean, the two injuries that he suffered that kept him out for about 3 years. I mean, that's the reality of it. And every day that goes by, he's not getting any younger. So I think in that regard, they'd have to try to replace two players, maybe both Green and Thompson, and try to see if they can find somebody else out there in the free agent market. And I like I said, I'm going to stick with my with my thing of you know, hopefully giving Moody and Kuminga more minutes, because Kuminga actually I think at this point wants a trade, because he wants to be in the starting lineup next year.
You can make the argument you could see big changes coming for the Warriors in the offseason, or as Marco's alluding to, maybe there won't be a lot of changes. Maybe they'll stand pat. Arguments can be made on both sides, and one thing's for sure, if the Warriors make any big moves, noteworthy decisions, we will be covering it for you on Bay Area Sports Wrap. Along with Marco Ukalovich and Ryan Leong, I'm Lowell Tuckerman. Thank you for listening.